We are reviewing a series of basic Christian convictions that connect our faith with day-to-day life. And today we're going to underscore the concrete personal commitment that everyone is important. Now, we've studied that before, but today we're going to look at a flesh and blood example of somebody who has made that commitment to see what a life looks like. What does it look like to believe that everybody is important? Our text is in Acts chapter 9, and the text involves our dear friend, the Apostle Peter. But it isn't really about him. It's about someone else who really is important in the church. Listen, Acts chapter 9, verses 36 to 42. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which, when translated, is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please, come at once." Peter went with them. When he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying, showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. It was part of an apostle's ministry to perform miracles. Their overall mission was to communicate the revelation of God in Jesus. That meant interpreting the Old Testament in the light of Christ. It meant repeating and setting down what Jesus himself taught. It meant bearing witness to Jesus' resurrection and bringing it all together into a coherent gospel through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That was their job. And to authenticate this message, to put God's stamp of approval on it, the Holy Spirit enabled them to perform miracles. Now, a miracle, the way the Bible uses that term, is more than just a supernatural act. A miracle served as an attesting sign or wonder. It's a supernatural act which illustrates a divine truth behind a message. The apostolic message is that the world is fallen. It's ruined, and people are morally and physically ruined from God's original design. But through Christ, God is determined to renew the world and all the people who trust in him, to renew us back to his original design and more, overcoming all sin, all death, and all misery. That in Christ, his power is actually at work today, bringing a taste of that renewal here and now. And to authenticate this message by illustrating the renewal, the apostles often were given the power to heal people in supernatural fashion, as were the prophets before them. Now, they didn't heal everybody in the world. They didn't even heal everybody in the church. But they often performed healing in connection with their preaching to divinely illustrate the truth of their message and prove historically that the apostles were sent by God. Sometimes this healing went to remarkable extremes, as in our text. In Acts chapter 9, we find Peter traveling. He was in a place called Lydda, about 20 miles northwest of Jerusalem. He was preaching the gospel, healing the sick. A great many people were healed in his ministry. The growing Christian community in Joppa, which was a seaport about 10 miles further distant, they hear that Peter is near, and they go send a delegation of two men, and they beg him to come because they had just lost one of the bright lights of their church. You know, every church has within it some individuals who especially inspire the faith of others, whose words, and perhaps more often whose life, shines with living faith in a living Savior. In my almost 30 years of ministry, I believe such people are often not so much the pastors, whose duty it is to proclaim the truth clearly, regardless of how much or how little they have absorbed it personally. But the people who inspire faith the most are those who live it best, whose faith is simple and deeply felt, who actually have these convictions that we are studying. They are convictions of their soul. They have decided to actually live by the basic truths of the gospel. They don't just think about them. They say, I'm going to live this way. They live assuming that God is who he says he is, and God is in control, and the world is not what it should be, and God will make all things right. And the one we're studying today, everyone is important. Tabitha was one such person. Since no family is mentioned, it's probable that she was a widow. Since she could afford to buy materials and spend every day making garments to give away, we assume that she was one of the few widows who had access to family money. Tabitha's grace was reflected in her name. Tabitha is an Aramaic name that means gazelle, translated into the Greek by Dorcas. Now, in verse 36, it says that Tabitha was a disciple who was always doing good and helping the poor. That's what she decided to do with her life. Always doing good and helping the poor. Hers was not a gift of speaking that we know of. Hers was a gift of doing, or a gift of helps. She communicated the grace of God through actions. She made clothing for fellow widows who could not support themselves. Perhaps you're aware that the experience of widows in the ancient world was usually a very desperate kind of existence. If there were children to care for her, she would be all right. If she inherited a substantial sum from her husband, she'd be all right. But remember, women did not generally run businesses by themselves in that society. There was no insurance. There was no social security. There was no government housing. There was no help with heating bills. In the ancient world, many widows were positively desperate. In the new Christian church that was growing, members who were widows were actually fed by a collection regularly taken up by all the believers. And that, in fact, is how the office of deacon was originally developed, to take care of that offering and to take care of the widows. But what about clothing? Well, that's where Dorcas stepped in. She spent what money she had, and she spent every day making clothing so that the widows in the church at Joppa would not have to wear rags, so that, in fact, they might be clothed with some dignity. And when Peter got to Joppa, all the widows stood around him, crying, showing him the robes and the other clothing Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Dorcas had devoted her life to the conviction that everyone is important, not just natural family or relations, not just personal friends or people you'd be expected to care for, but everyone. Dorcas wasn't able to provide for all the needs of all the widows in Joppa, but she did what she could for the widows who came in contact with her in the church. And to them, she had come to exemplify what faith in Christ is all about. She believed in Jesus. She believed he died for her sins and rose again from the dead so she could find a new life that would carry on into eternity. And Christ's passion to bring us new life changed how Dorcas thought. It changed how she lived. She believed that since this new life was offered to everyone, well, then everyone is important. Everyone is worth the trouble. Everyone should be loved and respected and cared for. And her handmade clothing, freely given, proclaimed her faith. And every single day, when each of the dozens of widows arose, put on a fine robe, as fine as the other women who had families and were loved and respected and cared for, they would remember that somebody counted them worth the trouble. They were loved, and they were respected and cared for, not only by Dorcas, but by the risen Christ who lived in her. I suppose there are many reasons why faith in Christ inspires such love. Genuine Christians, for example, feel an overwhelming sense of gratitude to God for Christ. You know, nominal Christians, people who just, you know, go to church and want to be generically religious, they can confess that Jesus died for them very dispassionately. But those who really believe that God took flesh in order to absorb his own wrath on their behalf, take his own punishment for their sins, well, that's kind of personal. And it naturally draws forth a profound gratitude that's just got to be expressed somehow. We long to love God back. What can we do for God? And Jesus answered that question by pointing to other believers and saying, well, whatever you do for the least of these brothers of mine, you do for me. And so Dorcas set about to clothe Jesus, to replace his rags with fine clothes, lovingly made, by doing it for the church's widows. Another reason why Christians do this sort of thing is that we experience a growing concern for the rightness of things. When people are treated unfairly, just because of circumstances or social position or race or gender or any reason, it rubs us the wrong way. It's not so much that it makes us angry and want to fight. It makes us unhappy and intent to do something about it, not just to shout, but to do something about it. We know that God's character isn't naturally going to be reflected in our societies. That's what it means, that the world has fallen. It's not what it should be. But we long to see God's character reflected as much as possible. So we do things consistent with God's character in order to order things differently as much as we can. So Dorcas, what did she do? She cared for people that the society didn't care about, reflecting a sense of compassionate justice in what can be a rather cruel world. So there are many reasons that could have motivated Dorcas to do what she did, but I think that one reason, you see, outweighed them all. Because of what happens in this text, I think one reason outweighed them all. It has to do with Christ's resurrection from the dead and the creation of a new humanity. That thought is what gives us the reason to believe everyone is important. It's based on Christ's resurrection. The apostles taught that Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead came through a man. For as in Adam all die, in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits. Then when he comes, those who belong to him. God originally created Adam from the dust, the ancestor of the entire human race. And Adam's sin prevented God's design from being fulfilled. Sin brought death. So to dust we have all returned ever since. But when God raised Jesus, he began to create a new humanity, a humanity destined to gain what Adam's children can never gain by themselves, because Jesus achieved what Adam did not. He achieved righteousness. He modeled God's character in human form, and on top of that, bore the punishment of our sins. This enabled Jesus to function as a second Adam, the source of a renewed human race. Through faith in Christ, we move from the old humanity into the new. We become new citizens in God's eternal kingdom, and we have a new predisposition planted in our hearts. The point is this: Dorcas believed that when Jesus rose from the dead, he became the first fruits of a new humanity, a new humanity open to all races, both genders, every age. To everyone, regardless of how valuable or worthless society saw them, available through simple faith in Christ. So when Dorcas looked at the widows who flocked to the church, she didn't see women who had been abandoned by God. She didn't see cast-offs who were only fit to beg in the streets for a crust of bread. She saw women who were already citizens of God's kingdom. That's who she saw when she looked at them. Women who were being renewed right now in his image. Women who already wore the royal robes of Christ's righteousness in the sight of God. Women who were so highly esteemed that Jesus Christ died for them. And just as Christ rose to newness of life was already rising within them. They were beginning to taste the godliness pulsing in their heart. And one day these women would rise from their graves, rise in glory as Jesus did. And on that day, those who were called abandoned by God would be seen by all to be his people. And those who were considered cast off would be seen to be beloved. Because by faith, Dorcas could see Christ resurrected. In that same faith, she could see these women raised with him. By faith, she could see the worth and the value bestowed on these Christian sisters by God. Society couldn't see it, but she could, with the same faith as she saw her Savior alive. For Dorcas, everyone was important. Everyone in the church, because they were being renewed in the image of God. And I believe everyone outside the church as well. Because every person bears God's image, however broken it might be. Every person may find renewal of that image through simple faith in the gospel. You never know who the person you're talking to might be somebody you're going to live with for all eternity, who'll be reflecting God perfectly. The way our text ends in verse 42 with a record of people coming to faith reminds us that those outside of Christ are always in the thoughts of true believers. Well, Peter knew why they asked him to come. Maybe he thought of Lazarus, Jesus' friend. They asked Jesus to come that time too. Jesus at that point wanted to perform a sign that would underscore a truth that he said just before Lazarus came out of the tomb. And that truth was, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live even though he dies. And the one who lives and believes in me will never die. So Jesus raised Lazarus from the tomb. Now, such a miraculous sign is not the same kind of resurrection Jesus would experience. Lazarus was not raised to glory. That can't happen till the end of the age. Lazarus' resurrection was a temporary sign. He'd die again. But his resurrection was a miracle that illustrated what the gospel is all about. Miracles in this age don't change the age, but they underscore truth. The dear saints in Joppa, I think, desired such a sign too. Must have been something to go there, and there's a lot of desire for this to happen. Everybody's crying, and they came 10 miles, and he's wondering what God is doing. You know, Peter hadn't done this before. He'd seen a lot of people healed, but he'd never done this before. So apparently, he decided to just imitate Jesus as much as he could. He thought about the time when Jesus raised a 12-year-old girl, daughter of a local leader named Jairus. At that time, Jesus went into the room where the girl's body lay, and he sent the crowd out. He took the girl by the hand, and in Aramaic, he said, and this is recorded in Mark. In Mark, we understand, as Peter's memoirs. Peter remembered the exact Aramaic words. Jesus said, Talitha kumi. In Aramaic, little girl, arise. And that little girl opened her eyes, and she came back to life, and he helped her up. So the simple fisherman asked them all to leave. He got down on his knees and prayed. And then perhaps he realized that the Aramaic for Dorcas, gazelle, was Tabitha, just one letter different from Talitha, little girl. And so he imitated his master as best he could, said, Tabitha, kumi, Dorcas, arise. And her eyes opened, and he helped her up. And when the church and the widows whom she had helped, when they came back into the room, they saw a living testament that everything Dorcas believed was true. And everything she had preached to them with her hands was true. They were important to God. Everyone is important because Jesus has brought redemption to humanity. And in him, we really do receive new life. You know, the immediate impact of miracles was always very, very limited in the Bible. Only a relatively few people were ever healed or brought back from the dead. Miracles never accomplished a great deal directly. But apostolic miracles had a profound effect indirectly because they vindicated their message. It was the message that made the difference, not the miracle. What shook Joppa and brought many to Christ in those days was not simply that a person came back from the dead. Those new believers did not all expect to be resurrected immediately when they died. They knew this was a divine illustration, not to be repeated. It was what Dorcas' resurrection illustrated. It was what it proved. And what it proved was that her ministry was a genuine and true reflection of God's salvation. That in Christ, those who are nobodies become somebodies. That those who have found only heartache and pain and death in a world that has turned its back on its creator find that God has not turned his back on us. And we can come to Christ with our morally filthy rags and our shattered hopes and receive fine robes, ours without cost, the cost having been borne by one who loves us and is willing to work with his hands to bring us grace. In his high priestly prayer, Jesus looked to the future. After the days of apostles and attesting signs and wonders were all past. And he said, my prayer, Father, is not for them alone. I pray for all those who will believe in me through their message, that they may all be one, Father, as just as you are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us so that the world may believe that you've sent me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you've sent me. In the future, it would not be miracles, but rather our supernatural love for one another that would demonstrate the reality of Christ to people. The miracle was a divine stamp of approval, but what had touched people's lives was not Tabitha's extraordinary resurrection, it was Tabitha herself. The way she welcomed any widow in the church as her sister with a dignity and a value and a worth beyond anything society recognized. She thought, in this poor widow, I see a daughter of the king, a member of a new humanity destined to shine like the stars of heaven, destined to build a coming new earth into a garden, a paradise of moral purity and joy, where every creature God has made will live with the peace and dignity God intends. This is a woman who will be resurrected one day, just as Christ was resurrected, and she'll be glorified, never to die again. Here, this robe I made is hardly worthy of who you are in Christ, but it's the best I can give you. Lots of people in Joppa outside the church knew of Dorcas. What a wonderful, wonderful woman. Hey, you need some clothes? Go see if Dorcas will help you. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the faith she demonstrates could actually be true? That God Almighty would actually love us like that? What'd you say? Oh yeah, I heard she passed away. What happened? You mean it is true? God would treat me like she treated me? Where did you say these Christians were meeting? Nobody comes to Christ without understanding and embracing the gospel. But what touches people most is not the church's sermons. It's the church's Tabithas. Merry widows who open their hearts and their homes to other widows who feel alone. Young adults who come alongside these widows or come alongside single moms who in our culture have equally great needs and change oil and repair roofs and rake leaves. Teens and others who visit shelters for homeless men and women. Women who provide lovingly extra meals for brothers and sisters going through a crisis. Christians who give their voice to speak up on behalf of the infirm who cannot speak and appeal to the hearts of fearful mothers contemplating the abortion of their children. Folks who work hard to organize a vast flea market of used items to make available to families, anybody who comes by and wants to come in, who can use them and to do it all completely free of charge. Others who prepare lunches or sleeping bags or other necessities for individuals who are homeless in the city. Christian men and women who band together to overcome substance abuse and welcome any who wish to share their support. Church groups and individuals who travel to less developed parts of the world to build encouraging and helpful relationships that result in clothing or a vehicle or even a back operation that would otherwise be impossible. Christians who band together to go anywhere there is disaster and tragedy, whether it be Florida or Sri Lanka, just to help, no charge. Why? Because everybody's important. Every human being is important. It's true, sin has cost every one of us our identity and dignity that God designed for us to have. But Jesus rose from the dead to restore those things. And in Christ, we're being renewed in the image of our Creator. We're beginning to treat each other that way. And we can see that image in every human being, regardless of their race or their religion, what they believe. Underneath all that brokenness, underneath all that idolatry, His original image is still visible. And if they can see that image being renewed in us in a way that we treat each other and in the way we treat them, then perhaps they would seek such renewal for themselves. There are Tabithas. There are Tabithas, both female and male, in this church, as there are in any faithful church. They may not be called to preach, but they illustrate the gospel with their deeds. And they are the ones who really make a difference. And they are the ones that the church misses when they're gone. If the days of the apostles were still with us, they'd be the ones who would move us to send word, saying, for years, this Tabitha has demonstrated the gospel better than the rest of us. We have all seen our resurrected humanity in her. Now she's gone. Do you think you could come and remind us just how real that resurrection is? Let's pray. Father, it has been impossible to think of Dorcas and not to think of specific people we have known, some in our past, and some I see in this room who remind us of her. Well, actually, it's not so much they remind us of her as they remind us of you and your Son and your Spirit. And I guess when we come down to it, they remind us of what we shall be, what we're destined to be in Christ. And one of the things we see in them is a conviction that everybody's important, not just because helping others makes them feel good about themselves or makes them look good to others, but because they believe you are actually redeeming this fallen being called human. And they see something of you in everyone. And they can imagine what each of us might look like in glory. We would all like to be like that. So, Father, we ask you to give us the grace of a gazelle to reflect our risen Lord.